It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
There's this guy named Jai, was like Paul Bunyan.
Jay Binkley will join us at 6:45.
Looking forward to that today.
There's this guy named Jai, was like Paul Bunyan.
Did you guys see what the head coach of the Denver Broncos said yesterday? Did you guys catch this, what Sean Payton said, speaking of Josh Allen? He's teaching the Denver Bronco fans how to properly cheer at games now.
That's cute. The Jerome Tang
wants them to make sure that they're loud when the team is in the huddle, the Bills, not just when they break the huddle.
Oh,
he wants to make sure that they're loud when they're in the huddle as well, and started sharing antidotes from New Orleans and how they made it really loud down there. That's what a fan base wants to hear. Do it like this fan base did it when we were down there, and start yelling when this team is in the huddle. And so he says, I only need about 90 snaps, for you guys to yell the entire time.
I kind of want something other day.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
That's exactly right. Sean Payton, that's the bag of tricks they're diving into right now out in Denver. So if all else fails, get the crowd loud so we can make sure that Josh Allen can't hear. Which, by the way, who's he throwing the football to this weekend?
I don't know. He threw it to 9 people last weekend.
God.
You got any biscuits for sale in there? What you got in there is good to eat. French fried potatoes? How much you want for them? I reckon I'll have me some of the big ones.
Sean Payton, keep preaching.
Keep preaching, Sean.
Go Bills. I don't care who hates me for it. Go Bills. I want the Bills to win 49-7.
Yeah, I think that's the sentiment here, as we talked about yesterday, right? I don't think there's anybody going, well, I don't think you can root for Josh Allen. And you had mentioned yesterday some people will try to turn the TV off and not watch the game. I think that's the game I'm the most excited for this weekend. As the weekend gets closer, we're already to Wednesday, right? You start to think about what games are coming up this weekend and what's at stake. And at Bills.
Did you say steak?
Yeah, I did. Bills and
mistake.
Yeah, what's at stake? The Bills and the Broncos, to me, that's the premier game of the weekend, guys. I don't know how you're viewing it. I know you love the NFC West, and you and I differ on that. It just doesn't register to me.
Bob hates the NFC West.
I do. I always have.
Loves Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan.
Loves Sean McVay, too.
Yeah, I do. But those
Matt
teams.
Stafford.
I could take him or leave him. What?
McCaffrey?
I like him, yeah. But the teams have never done anything for me, right? What have the Arizona Cardinals ever done for anybody, right? The Rams, again, since 88, I've hated the Rams, never liked their uniforms, the whole nine yards, I'm on that. The 49ers, I'm just tired of them, right? I'm just, you've been there, you've done that. And Seattle just, does nothing, because I always feel like it's up in Seattle and it's just whatever it is. It's never been, a division that I love or anything like that. So I know that's the game that you're looking forward to, and most people are, I think, looking forward
Number one is Bills,
to that
Broncos.
Game. But Bills Broncos, man, like that is an exciting game. Like if your team's not in the playoffs like ours is, you want great games to get excited about, right? To look forward to. And I don't know how much more excited you can get for the Bills and the Broncos being, a marquee game, on what is it? They playing on Saturday, right? They're the first game out to shoot on Saturday.
3:30.
And it's perfect on Saturday. Great placement of a game on Saturday. That place in Denver is going to be wild, man. Like, you know what it's like if you have a 2:30 playoff game on a Saturday. You're out at the parking lot at 4 a.m. getting drunk, right? You're getting ready to go.
Kickoff's not for 9 hours. Look at the line coming into Arrowhead.
Exactly, right? Like, we know how we'd be. So I'm excited about that game. I think that's going to be the best game of the weekend, man.
I could sit here, which I'll do it on Friday like we did it last week, and I'll give you my insight on the playoffs, because your boy was pretty on it this last weekend. Missed the Philly game, got every other game right, and a lot of the little side bets as well.
Same here.
Covered. Philly did lose, but Stafford threw 2 touchdowns. Rams won. Bears won. The under did not hit in the Bears game because the snow just miraculously dissipated what we thought we were going to get. We just got like a clear, windy night. Looks like it's going to be another frigid, frigid, frigid game in Chicago.
Well, if it's going to be here like in the 12s and the teens,
Saturday's
how cold is it going to be in Chicago, man?
Look, I think all games have interesting little nuggets. And, you could say the Bills-Broncos game is one you're looking forward to, and then you could tell me, you know, I'm really interested in Houston and New England, and I wouldn't have an argument for you to say why that game is less or equal as important to that one, because it's Drake May's chance to go up there and try to fight that six-headed monster, which is that defense that swarms and attacks and just put Aaron Rodgers in retirement. So we get to see that against, you know, New England's first big test on the home field of, yeah, the Chargers, whatever, they were beat up, banged up, their offensive line sucked. But again, if that's the excuse you're giving New England, well, who are they beating? Well, they just beat a playoff team,
right?
Beating the Bills. Now their next test is Houston. You look at Chicago. Are they going to be hung over from their first win in the playoffs with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson as they host the Rams? Are the Niners going to be able to withstand injury and play against the Seattle Seahawks, who are the one seed, and the Sam Darnold narrative that is in that game? You look at Houston, which we just talked about, and then you look at Buffalo and Denver. Can Josh Allen go again on the road? Can Denver be a real contender? Can they show that they're not a fluke? Whole bunch of storylines.
So many storylines. Chicago on Sunday, high of 18, low of 11.
Hello.
It's supposed to be cloudy, so it's going to be very cold up there. You get hit one time, and it may, you know, the AFC games, though, to me, are just so much better than the NFC games. I don't know if that's because we're an AFC town and that's where our team is, but I just feel like those marquee
Pats.
I love that game. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. The Texans may end up in the Super Bowl, guys. I mean, let's not sleep on the Texans. I know
Nico Collins.
But their defense is insane. Their defense is absolutely insane. And that defensive line gets after it. You win in the playoffs with defense. And if Nico Collins is out, then Nico Collins is out. You have to find a way to score against this Houston Texans defense right now. And the Houston Texans defense scored more points than the Pittsburgh offense did in that game. Not that that's, you know, whatever it is, but this people are sleeping on this Houston Texans defense right now, and every time that I watch them play, I get more and more impressed and more pissed off, quite frankly, that we fail to get a defensive line even in the same conversation, you know, as the Houston Texans, because that's what you need. They're wrecking games up front, and so I don't know who I'm picking yet in this one, but it's a toss-up for me, because I love what New England's done, but that defense from the Houston Texans is one of the best defenses we've seen in the last 10 years, man.
But to be fair, if C.J. Stroud turns the ball over three times, they will not win the game.
They will not win that game,
that
no.
Was a
no.
Piss-poor Pittsburgh offense.
Right.
Like, just terrible. And plus, he had a petty Aaron Rodgers because he just decided not to throw DK Metcalf the rest of the game after he had that huge drop.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you can't do these sort of things in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't be that guy.
3.9 yards per pass for Rodgers this season.
Yeah.
That's not yards per attempt. That's not air yards. Like that's what the whole pass does. He passes it 1 yard. It goes two more. Like that offense was trash. I don't know how to judge the Texans right now. I just don't.
Yeah, I just think they get after it on defense. They are so fast, guys, on that defensive line. Like, they've got guys playing defensive line that maybe are faster than wide receivers at this point. Like, the speed and the athleticism that they have on that defensive line to get after quarterbacks like they do. What did they sack Josh Allen, like, seven times or something like that in one game? Like,
it was crazy.
I mean, like, I'm interested to see what Drake May is going to do against these guys, because this is the best defense that Drake May has ever gone against. And so it'll be interesting to see. And then, you know, New England has Christian Gonzalez most likely out of this game. And he's, you know, one of their best defensive players.
It's
so
huge.
If he's out and Nico Collins is out, that washes each other out. And so I don't know. I'm just thinking, the more and more I think about it, man, the more and more I'm like, I don't think anybody should be sleeping on Houston. And D'Amico Ryans, too. Let's give this guy credit. In 3 years, this cat's got 35 wins and three divisional playoff appearances. And people want to sleep on D'Amico Ryans, too, is one of the great head coaches out there. I was on him from day one, and I told people from day one, even people in Houston, Gene, that this was going to be a good football team. And they're kicking ass, man. 35 wins and three divisional appearances in 3 years. Nobody talks about the Houston Texans and D'Amico Ryans. 27-0 New England.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in my personal opinion, that's the fourth best game on Saturday and Sunday. But, I mean, they're all great. That's like saying, like, my fourth kid's, like, my least favorite, but they're all your favorites, right? Like, I mean, Buffalo, Denver, number one for me. San Francisco, Rams, that's two. Bears and, or I'm sorry, Niners and Seahawks is the second game to me. Bears and Rams, because, again, Matthew Stafford going outside. We'll see what happens when it's really cold for Matthew Stafford. But cold take yesterday, is KU worried about where the season's going? KU won last night, what was it, 83-62?
Well, it was by 20 points.
82-63, something like that. Just a massive blowout in Allen Fieldhouse last night. typical.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be the same team. I don't know if Bill Self still has it. Looking really bleak in Kansas.
Get bent.
hold my beer, here's a 20-point win, game was over by halftime.
The game was over in the first 10 minutes of that game. I mean, really, the game was over in the first 5 minutes, and, you know, I didn't send a game over text, but, you know, I was excited to watch that game last night. Not going to lie, waiting for it, you know, and 8 o'clock comes around, I turn it on, and let's call it what it is. Did anybody care that the broadcast didn't have the other camera angles last night? I thought it was good. I love Dan Shulman. I love Jay Billis. Thank God Fran Fraschilla can eat the nails off a chalkboard or whatever they say. It's just, it was, I thought that the presentation of the game was just fine. And then KU opened that big lead and that was that. I mean, that's what happens. And, you know, I was telling you guys for years, Josh and I used to have the KU script every year. November, they go out there, they play a good team, they win, everybody gets excited. They have the non-conference thing and then they lose a conference game and then people get pissed off and then they come back and they blow the doors off of somebody else and they run on to the, you know, the NCAA tournament and they make it into the Sweet 16. I mean, this is what this Jayhawk team over the years has done. This is what Bill Self has done over the years. And, you know, his mantra, I guess, last night to this team, you know, he put the keys to the game on the board and every other one was get on the floor, get on the floor, get on the floor. And those guys went out there and they busted their ass last night and they took over that game from the start. They had the energy. The building was huge last night, obviously, to start that game. And they got out to a big lead and they never relinquished that thing. And that was a statement win. No duh, Bob. But that was a huge statement win for this Kansas Jayhawk team. It also shows you that nobody knows what's going on in college basketball right now, right? Because that was the number two team in the nation versus an unranked team. And they got their ass kicked in by 20 points. College basketball, again, it's wide open because of the NIL. You just don't know who you can count on day in and day out, week in and week out, and which teams are going to be good. Because on paper, Iowa State should have won that game last night. But they got their ass kicked last night. Because that's what Bill Self does. All right, guys, enough of this. Let's go kick these guys' ass, and we'll see you on Friday. You said they're playing Friday, right?
Yeah,
that's the next game?
They play Friday at 7 versus Baylor.
Where's that game?
At Kansas.
That's a weird Big 12 game, but this is the new scheduling with the Big 12. The new TV partners are involved right now, so you're going to get these random Friday night games, which I think that kind of sucks, but whatever. It's Friday night. Everybody's doing other things at that point.
Yeah, you could say they have like a little bit of a soft patch here. They get Baylor, then they go to Colorado on the 20th at 10 p.m., then they go to Kansas State Saturday the 24th at 7 p.m. Then they get the big one. Saturday the 31st, 3 o'clock, BYU comes to Lawrence, Kansas, and it's DeBanza versus Peterson.
I know that I'm hard.
That's a star-studded game. Right? And you said it's in Lawrence, right?
Saturday at 3.
So Kansas by 15.
Let's go. Then they go to Texas Tech. They get Utah at home. They get Arizona at home. They go to Ames. They go to Stillwater. They get Cincinnati at home. Then they get Houston at home. And then they go to at Arizona. And then they finish up at Arizona State and then Kansas State.
I mean, that's the Big 12, and you didn't name any team in there that we're used to in the Big 12. Like, you mentioned Kansas State at the end there, and maybe Lames and whatnot going up there, but I mean, Colorado's still on the schedule, aren't they?
Golly, that's
Are there
crazy.
Any bad teams other than Colorado in the Big 12?
I don't think Arizona State's good.
They're not good.
I don't think Cincinnati's that good. But yeah,
and Houston. And I don't know anything about Colorado. All I'll say is they lost by 2 to Texas Tech, who's a great team. That
right.
was last two nights ago.
Two nights ago, yeah.
Again, I just don't think we know a lot.
Yeah. I know Tad Boyle's their coach because he played at Kansas and Danny Manning's an assistant. They were on the 88 Jayhawks together. Other than that,
I didn't know that.
I don't know much about the Colorado basketball.
So this is going to make me sound like a lame ass or like a petty person. So we all have group chats of friends, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a group chat of like 12 buddies and like 5 are KU fans and 5 are MU fans. And last night when KU was putting it on them, they were like, hey, great game. Big win by Bill and company. That was an ass kicking. And then there's that one guy. And I don't know why this bothers me, but this is the one guy's text. I really love that they used the 4-guard system and really got everyone involved. Like, can we just, like, am I an ass for hating that guy? I feel bad. Like, can you just be like, yeah, that was a great win. That was awesome. I really love how they incorporated the 4-guard system and really made things develop and open up. I'm like, can you just say it was a nice win?
Sorry.
And again, you can crush me on the text line if you want, if I'm just being too much, but
no,
I just feel like just,
it's enough.
It's like watching like a Chiefs game with your buddies. Like, man, that 13 personnel really opened up that offense. It's like, no, they just played good. It was a good game.
Let me ask you this.
Is that wrong of me, Mac?
I'm being quiet because I'm that guy. So that's
I was going to say, he's not asking me because he knows how I feel.
Yeah. He's asking me. I mean, I'm that guy.
So that would be like your response. Everybody's like, great game. That was an ass kicking. Total blowout. 4-guard system really look.
You've got to read the vibe. Bill's that's fair.
Like if you're in a group chat of nerds,
yeah, you've got to read the room.
If you're in a group chat of buddies that you were in college with, like we are for the I have been. with my friends for 30 years, okay? And obviously not group chats for 30 years, right? But we've talked sports for 30 years. I don't remember, and Britt, if you're up listening to this one, maybe we have had this before, or Stoker, if you're up listening, has anybody ever waddled into the group chat? And I say waddled because we're all older and fat, right? Has anybody ever waddled into the group chat and said, man, Kansas looked good, and I love the way Bill used the four-guard system to go out there and work it?
That's fair.
You know, have we ever had that? Like, let me ask you guys this, too.
Was the exact text. Love seeing that four-guard, one-big lineup and spreading teams out. But we have to start winning and playing defense on the road.
Okay, you won by 20. Enjoy the win, man. Like, seriously. like, Bill's not going home and saying, well, no, he probably is, because we've talked about how it's hard to enjoy wins, but you lament the losses. So he's probably going home and saying that's his job. As a fan, you won by 20. You throw the newspaper up in the air. You run out of Allen Fieldhouse at the 8-minute mark yesterday, 4-minute mark clearly yesterday. Get the hell out of town and get back on K-10, and you enjoy the win. Like that. That's kind of alluding to what Pat McAfee was talking about with some of these sports reporters. Not that your friend is a sports reporter, but they forget the enjoyment that sports brings. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I've enjoyed sports more since COVID that I'm not in these locker rooms every day dealing with the minutiae of the day-to-day stuff in sports. It's okay just to kick back and enjoy the damn game and not worry about the four-guard system.
From the 816, just because you don't understand. Okay. Don't be a hater.
Have you ever sat at Arrowhead Stadium at the game with your friends and said, man, I love the 13 personnel that's going on right now? Have you ever done that, Dusty?
Yep.
You have?
No.
No. Mac, you have?
No, not at the game.
I've seen you at games. You're not even paying attention to the game most of the time.
I was going
to
say, not at a game. No. I'm having fun. Hawk,
yeah, exactly. You should have seen him at the Bananas game. But I will say, like, when you're at the – people forget, when you're at the game, you're there and you're enjoying
it. You're having fun.
You're watching it on TV, and all of a sudden it creates this nerd side of people where they got to analyze everything. How about just watch the game and enjoy it like I did last night? It's a fun game to watch.
Really ready to talk about what Tomlin does with the 2-3 zone and what he does with the cover four defense of this next option here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Jay Binkley will talk to us all things football. Mock draft.
That guy's an idiot, man.
You bet it.
It's Binkley season.
Oh, dude. Mock draft, Indiana versus Miami, just like he predicted at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. He did nail that one. Yeah.
He's like, this is Hurricanes, man. They got a great defense. Mm-hmm. And don't sleep on Mendoza, because a lot of people did, and he's good.
This guy called into Ben's show this morning that I was listening to, talking about that game a little bit. He's talking about how he's going to go with Miami because they got this great tradition, and Indiana has nothing. And Ben goes, what does that have to do with anything that's going to take place on Monday? I think I was like, well, they got all these old guys coming back. Ben's like, they've got middle-aged dudes on the sidelines that nobody knows who they are that is playing, trying to hype these guys up. And Irvin, who knows what planet he's on?
Well, he's going to be in Miami. So,
well, there you go. He's already down there.
Oh,
I mean, Irvin arrived last week.
If Miami wins the national championship, hours of sleep for Michael Irvin in 72 hours.
None.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope
3 days. Yeah. I'll give him 4 hours.
Yeah.
I want him to lose. And then I want Mark Cuban to take the belt to the ass dance away from Michael Irvin.
Can I ask you how old Michael Irvin is? He's got to be mid-50s now, right?
Okay, I was going to go a little older, but that makes sense.
Oh, you would go older?
No, but
I'm trying to think. Like, he was drafted in like 88, right?
Okay.
Ish. Right, 88
Let's
or 89.
Say he was 88, so he was 22 in 88, probably. So that means he was born in 66, which means he's 34, 59, 60.
So he's 60? Michael Irvin's 60?
Let's see. I bet he's 59.
I bet he is 59. If Michael Irvin is that close to 60, man, I'm going to be so disappointed.
59.
He's 59. So yeah, I told you, like 50, like mid-50s, now he's 60. That guy's a 60-year-old man on the sidelines acting like that.
Mm.
That's awesome.
And the mountains on Miami, baby.
What's the Rick James quote from the Dave Chappelle show? Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Hell of a drug, man.
Damn right.
I mean, to be like that at 60 years old, right?
Oh, wait till Saturday and Sunday where they're doing like the pregame like parties and he's on stage with a microphone in his hand.
Oh, man.
Hello, America.
Yeah, no doubt. I know it's only January 14th, but we might have the audio of the year.
And at Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So is he a candidate here?
Holy sh! Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job.
Yeah.
I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to him. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years, and that's really shocking that he did it that way. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That is the voice of Steve Biscotti. He is the owner of the Baltimore Ravens. That was awesome yesterday because, I don't know, we talked all morning about how I think it's time for Tomlin to part ways because of the playoff record. Hadn't won since 2017. He's 0-7 in his last playoff appearances and 7 straight losses. Just kind of in purgatory. And then it was the Pittsburgh way, right? Art Rooney came out with like a wonderful press release of like, Tomlin, we admire. It was just time for us to split ways. He's decided to step down. I personally think Tomlin's going to TV and then just letting the jobs marinate. There are 9 openings now in the NFL. One that is the most important one, I think, which is the best job opening, which is Baltimore. I think if you look at a roster standpoint and where they are physically and talent-wise, that is the number one job. I can't imagine. Now, for us, we would love if they just did a wife swap, right? Like Tomlin and Harbaugh switch. We joked about it last week,
yeah,
and now it's came to fruition in the real world. And it was basically the lead yesterday of Tomlin stepping down, but he does step down, and then you have this moment where things are probably a little tense. Things are a little different in Baltimore. Hell, they changed the guard for the first time in 18 years. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, hey, Tomlin's out. Oh, he did step down. Yep. Would you bring him to Baltimore? Holy blank, isn't that a great idea? Yeah. And you're like, okay, this guy gets it. He's not hard-o guy in the press conference. But Tomlin does step down. Pittsburgh has its third coach no longer since the Beatles broke up in 69. It's been Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. There's a lot to dive into what this Pittsburgh job offers, what you want, what failed this system for many, many years, watching everybody's takes on this yesterday. But the big news yesterday was Mike Tomlin stepping down as Pittsburgh's head man.
Yeah, and look, I'll be honest with you. Mike Tomlin has been the head coach since the day I met my wife, you know, and so that tells you how long of a time that's been. We're going on like 20 years, right? It's been forever and a day that he's been there. And I'm a Mike Tomlin apologist, however you want to say it. I think he was the second best coach in the NFL, you know, behind Andy Reid at this point in time. And there's so much to talk about, you know, from this Tomlin thing and the fact that he's like, I'm just done. And I don't blame him. I mean, this is a guy who's never had a losing season. And you look at what he's done in the last couple of years, too, with the quarterbacks that he's had on this roster, the people that they've kind of, you know, saddled him with at the quarterback position, the Duck Hodges, the Mason Rudolphs, the end of the line of Ben Roethlisberger, the end of the line of, you know, this guy Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields and, you know, Russell Wilson all in between. And that guy still found ways to finish above 500. And
I think that Kenny P.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, Kenny Pickett as well. I mean, through all of that, with all of those bad quarterbacks, right? And he still found ways to win. And, you know, was it time for him to move on? Clearly, he's I'm peace out, man. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to go through this, you know, anymore. I need that break. And I'm just wondering if the year off is going to rejuvenate him or if he's going to get that year off and get that check from Fox or whoever and go, why would I want to go do this again? We're not in a better place today in the NFL without Mike Tomlin in this league. And I really believe that because as all these coaches start to go away, we're getting less and less good ones. There's, I think, what, 5 coaches maybe now that were employed pre-COVID with their teams?
I think that's what, yep. I
think that's what I said. 5 coaches in the NFL now had this job that they're currently in before COVID. Andy Reid, then you had Shanahan, you've got McVay, and you've got McDermott all coming in 2017 together, And then there's one other that was there.
I think it's Zach Taylor.
And it is. It's Zach Taylor. It is Zach Taylor
he's like,
right
how
now.
Am I
and then
still
what's
here?
Sirianni's run? He's 5 years?
Yeah, he's about 5 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Five, 4 years. Yeah,
it'll be his fifth or sixth year now going in. So there's only five coaches that have been employed with their current team since before COVID. And that tells you how fast this, you know, this thing turns over in the NFL. The other thing is, too, now.
Oh, six. Six. LaFleur as well.
Oh, LaFleur, okay. Yes, yeah, six coaches.
Six.
Okay.
The loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Now all of a sudden Green Bay's like, what do we have to pay you to keep you around here? Because I mean, if Pittsburgh can make a trade for him, Giants can make a trade for him. Who knows what's this is gonna be the greatest coaching cycle I think that we've experienced. I mean, with the amount of jobs that are open,
nine.
With the amount of good jobs, franchises that are open,
four.
And the amount of good coaches that are potentially
six.
Out there that could do this. I mean, it's gonna be crazy, it's gonna be wild, it's gonna be nuts to see.
I mean, it was the greatest wild card week we've ever seen. Why can't it be the greatest coaching carousel we've ever seen?
Yeah.
Why can't it be the greatest offseason we've ever seen?
And the
Chiefs aren't involved.
Yeah, right. And it damn well may be. I'm glad we're not involved in the
hell
coaching.
Yeah.
Could you imagine right now if you're Arizona, okay? You're the Arizona Cardinals. You fired whatever ever clown show that was out
Gannon.
There.
Shots.
Okay. And so you got rid of that guy. And now you're competing with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and the Giants to try to get a new head coach.
And you got Tennessee down there with the number one pick.
Yeah, and Tennessee's got the number one pick, and
Atlanta's
the Raiders,
got talent.
Yeah. Now he's going, damn, all right. we got options, boys.
Yeah, like all of these jobs that are open right now, it's crazy, especially if you're Arizona, because you're not going to get the guy, you're probably not going to get the number four choice on your list because they're going to go elsewhere. And also, too, I think, and I do believe this, the rivalry now in the NFC North, like those games don't mean as much anymore because that was Tomlin and Harbaugh. I mean,
AFC North?
AFC, what did I say?
NFC North? Yeah. No, because I thought you were going to LaFleur.
The AFC, like those rivalries now that we love, that they were rivalries because the coaches bought in.
The only coach
to those
who kept
rivalries.
His job is the one that only coaches should have lost his job.
The only coach who should have lost his job.
Irony.
There's rumors. Where Mike Tomlin will be in a year.
Well, there's.
Cincy?
Yep.
There are rumors that Stefanski could end up in Pittsburgh. Which would be unbelievably great.
Great yes. hire for them.
Yeah.
You change that offense.
But they still need a quarterback, right? And I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, if you're – who's got the number one pick? The Raiders, right?
Yep.
So if you're the Raiders right
Raiders,
now –
Raiders, Jets, Cardinals.
And you offer the number one pick to Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not taking that pick. I'm not taking that trade because there's not a quarterback good enough that can turn my franchise around to give up the rights to my coach for the number one overall pick. I don't think Fernando Mendoza is going to be that good in the NFL. Great college quarterback. That number one quarterback, like if it was next year and Arch Manning was coming out or something of that nature, then maybe you would consider that. But if I'm Pittsburgh right now, I'm like, yeah, we'll just sit on this, man. I'm not going to trade Tomlin. There's really not a quarterback that we need. And until we get that quarterback, I mean, there's really not much we can do.
You could also say that was the problem for Pittsburgh's demise with Mike Tomlin, that they never took a quarterback. They always went and got...
Well, they got Kenny Pickett in the first round.
Well, yeah, they did that, but I mean, they could have gotten Jackson Dart, and they could have gotten Tua, Burrow, all those guys, they traded a top pick for Mika Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins, and they could have gotten a quarterback, and they didn't, and they were like, we can survive with, like, 2 years left to Ben, and then we'll just fill and replace, and we'll go
Duck Hodges,
we'll
Mason Rudolph.
But they've had opportunities to draft guys, and they've chosen not to.
They've chosen not to.
And they went for Aaron Rodgers, knowing that this was probably going to be the last year of Aaron Rodgers. If there was going to be one more, it would be a massive regression next year. And they just were like, we can go. Now, you could also take what I heard Broussard say yesterday, which is also the positive route, is like, with all these quarterbacks, they still didn't have losing seasons.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit.
And it's interesting because, you know, you look at, you know, where Pittsburgh could have gone and where their franchise could have changed. Like, they literally could have had Joe Burrow.
But they don't.
Because they chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And you could imagine what would happen if Mike Tomlin had Joe Burrow, right? Like, I don't know. That was one thing that is kind of murky in the water of Pittsburgh's success, is that there were opportunities to go and get a quarterback like these guys. They chose elsewise. They still won. They still got their win, but they didn't win any playoff games.
Right.
There's just really nothing to show from
and the
what
GM
they did,
is still employed, too.
Which is like, interesting.
But crazy.
Which I thought was interesting yesterday.
But they don't fire anybody. So if you work in Pittsburgh, I mean, you can go to work with no pants on and you're not going to get fired.
Which I think that's the other thing that makes Pittsburgh the most appeasing job, is that you know you're going to get security.
But their roster stinks.
I don't think they're going to overnight change the way things move.
No.
If they're, because again, it's not like Cowher was successful in every single season that he was the head coach of Pittsburgh and they rode with him. Then he retires, obviously, on top. Tomlin takes over, never has a losing season. It's easy to kind of keep your guy if you're not losing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting to know that, like, let's say Stefanski goes there. He's a good offensive mind. They're going to probably tell him, like, dude, you've got at least 3-4 years to just be you.
And that's great for a coach.
Correct. It's comfortability.
Yeah.
Like, if you came into your job and instead of signing a 2-year contract, they're like, you know what? Relax for 5 years. We like where you're at. We're going to give you a 5-year deal. We'll talk in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, but that's not how this works, right? That's not how this industry works. And when the clock starts ticking, you start wondering, when's that meeting going to happen? And then it happens, you're like, okay, 2 more years. And then it's like moving forward. But I mean, that is one thing that I think makes that job great. The Baltimore job great, obviously the roster mm-hmm. and maybe the possibility of saying, hey, this is how we do things here. But it is interesting to see who Pittsburgh does go get, because you're anti-college guy, but Marcus Freeman is a name.
Anti-Marcus Freeman, okay. though. Yeah, because he's a leader. He's not a guy that I look at and say is a rah-rah college guy. Like
he leads with a quiet staff.
It really does. I mean, like he will work in the NFL.
Yeah, all
the
grown NFL, men would listen to him.
Right, exactly. They'd grown men are sending their kids to go coach for him.
That's my point.
But he got another extension yesterday, and
he should have during Notre Dame. Hey, all that outside noise, it don't matter. Here's
now,
a new check.
I did talk to a friend of mine yesterday who's very tied in with Notre Dame, and he called me yesterday. He goes, "You may be right." I go, "What do you mean I may be right?" He goes, "Kind of hearing that the NFL is hot on Marcus right now," and I'm like, "Yeah, I told you that they were going to be hot on Marcus Freeman." They're like, "Well, his wife's from Pittsburgh. She's a Browns fan, so he's not taking the Cleveland job or the Pittsburgh job. You just don't do that.
No.
You know, you can't do that. Happy life, happy wife, right?"
Exactly.
I can't go root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I grew up a Browns fan my whole life. I'll never do that. But no, Marcus Freeman is one of the few out of college, you know, that I would hire. He is second now in the odds. Brian Flores is the number one in the odds now.
Love it.
To get that job. Now, I will say this as
that
we were talking.
Tomlin-ish.
Yeah, we're just kind of doing
defensive
Tomlin reincarnate. Yeah,
leads with a good
but
swag.
A guy that you respect, a guy that has command, a guy that's an adult, a guy that you know has been around the block. I know he's suing the league and whatnot, but I mean, everybody loves Brian Flores, and I think in a good situation, which Pittsburgh is, he will be great. And if you're a coach that's
Tomlin
on the free agent
from Minnesota, Flores comes from Minnesota,
and every coach that they've hired since 1970s had no ties to the Pittsburgh Steelers at all.
Coordinator Cower in Kansas City,
right? And Chuck Knoll, as I don't know where he was, but like they said, they have not hired a could have been they've not hired a coach, and obviously the three that they've hired that has any ties whatsoever to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're probably going to look outside the organization. But every coach that's available right now should want the Pittsburgh job number one overall, and then you could all argue about number 2 through 9 because the owner's going to leave you alone and let you do your thing.
Here is somebody that needs a lot of credit because this guy was also fired yesterday.
So my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
Oh, no. You probably would have rather had Cole, huh?
Great.
Yeah,
follow.
Probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and
coming.
I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
So he was fired yesterday.
Yeah, that kid's name is Sam. He stole that from his dad.
That's fine.
Yeah.
At least he went on the camera and
hell yeah.
And then Greg Roman fired as well in L.A.
The interesting thing about
that guy's playoff resume sucks.
Yeah, that thing's terrible. But
one touchdown in 22 quarters or something like that for the offensive coordinator in L.A.?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're gone.
The Petullo one is interesting because he wasn't fired. He was demoted. Like, they did not send him out of the organization. They are wanting him back on staff.
That's wow. No.
That's if like, you're Petullo, you can't go back. You're just like, screw you, man.
That's like being a general manager at a restaurant. And they're like, hey, we're not going to have you as a general manager, but you're going to be like the assistant manager.
No,
I'm leaving. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah, but that was the thing yesterday. It was like, he wasn't fired from the Eagles. He was removed as offensive coordinator. And Sirianni said somewhere, I saw a quote, I'd like to keep him on staff.
Mm-hmm. Then keep him as your offensive coordinator. Or
always.
It is Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Same kid. Loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
39 votes are in on the Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday? The Bills or the Broncos? Don't tell me you're not watching it.
We've already got a comment.
Is that the first comment?
First comment. The meteor.
Oh. That's great. Yeah.
So, and everybody thinks when they comment like that, they're the first ones. They're funny. They're the only one with this original thought. And we called it in the break.
The second comment says, I'm really hoping they run the 13-man set. And I'm kidding. No, it's Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? 79.5% of you are with Team Dusty and say the Bills. Bob, Mac, question, who are you voting for?
It's Buffalo, but
no question.
I can't believe there's 20% of Kansas Cityans, or maybe there's people from like Mike in Denver or something like that, but he's a Chiefs fan. I'm just trying to think, like, who's voting for the Broncos?
Yeah, why? What? Why would you do that?
I can't go for Josh Allen. He flops.
All right.
No self-respecting Chiefs fan is going to watch this game.
Somebody says Denver is a fraud. I'm rooting for Denver because I think they'll lose in the AFC Championship game. So then you want New England to win the title, and then it's all of a sudden the narrative flips back to, well, can Drake May catch Patrick Mahomes like Patrick Mahomes is trying to catch Tom Brady?
I don't know that Denver beats Houston. I don't know that New England beats Houston yet. I'm not ready to move New England over into that AFC Championship game quite yet. I think Houston stands a great chance of winning that one. So I may be picking Houston by the time the week's over in that. And if they have to go to Denver or Buffalo, good luck on either of those offenses scoring against that Houston defense. Good luck against New England scoring against a Houston defense right now.
48 votes in. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? 81.3% say Bills. 18.8% say Broncos. You 18.8 people, I need to have a conversation with y'all. But we're going to have a conversation with Jay Binkley. We'll ask him that exact same question. I guarantee you, I will bet my mortgage that I don't have, that Jay Binkley is rooting for Josh Allen and the Bills. We talk to Jay next here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for there's juice all over the place.
There's juice all over the place.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Tobacco, football, and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
Get off the phone,
yeah,
Jay,
seriously, so we can Mac, put you on hang the up air. The phone so we can talk to Jay Binkley here. Or maybe Jay Binkley is talking to Mac about his new job that somebody suggested on X yesterday. I tweeted out CBS should hire Mike Tomlin right now and replace Tony Romo with him, right? And somebody on X, MD Johnston 22, says, I feel like Tomlin and Binkley could also do a mean podcast. Jay, you and Mike Tomlin gonna host a podcast?
That'd be fun. I mean, you know,
are his arms Mike long enough?
maybe not. We'd have to measure it.
Bink, can I ask you a personal question? Because I know you don't like either one of these teams, but if you have to root for one of them as a Chiefs fan, Bills or Broncos on Saturday?
Man, and this is the one game, too, Dusty, that I really cannot stand either one of them.
You know the answer.
I mean, here's the one thing. Like, if one of these teams, who could beat New England at the next level, unless it's Houston? Houston would be the only team in the AFC that I would go for. But I can't answer because I hate Buffalo and Denver equally because I think they're two of the most annoying fan bases in the NFL.
You're such a coward.
Just say Buffalo.
Well, how can I root for Buffalo? Here's the thing.
How can
you root for Denver? You sat in that stadium when 30,000 fans were there dating a girl just because her dad had season tickets watching, you know, Denver beat our ass.
Well, I'll say Buffalo because I do hate Denver more than anything.
Thank you.
So I'd say Buffalo. But I will say this. Buffalo should feel as lucky as any team in the world. And Sean McDermott should have been fired after that game. They left the Jaguars with 1:04 on the clock, a timeout, and with a kicker that has the two longest field goals in NFL history. Mm. That is a fireable offense. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, are lucky. The Jaguars needed the pins because they peed down their leg at that game. But the Bills are very, very, very fortunate that number 15 wasn't on the other sideline. It took him 13 seconds to tie up a game. They left the Jags a minute four in the timeout with the kicker that has the two longest field goals in NFL history. That is very fortunate.
Let me ask you this, though, Jay. I mean, I'm not one of these guys who doesn't score. Like, you've got to score. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how much time is on the clock. That's why you go out there and play defense. There's no guarantees. Like, if that's the Chiefs, they don't score inside the red zone hardly ever. I mean, we talk about it all the time, right? Well, so I'm not one of these guys that says, oh, let's just hold it and see what happens. You got an opportunity to score a touchdown. Go score a touchdown. And get out there and play defense. Because what if they did do that and they never did get into the end zone?
Well, because you got to be careful what you do. The 2024 Chiefs did that well. I mean, they looked towards the end of the game. Well, last year, the 24 Chiefs did a lot better than last year's. But you watch towards the end of the game, they watch the clock. The clock management is very important. You get down, you have to be cognizant of who's that quarterback on the other sideline.
Sure.
And I don't think they respect the Trevor Lawrence at all. No. That's why they went ahead and scored. But I'll tell you this much, they wouldn't have gone ahead and scored if it was Patrick Mahomes in his prime there with the Kansas City Chiefs on the sideline. They wouldn't have done it because they wouldn't have won the game. I mean, you have to go into a football game wanting to win it. And if that's clock control down the stretch, it is, because they saw, even just leaving Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds, what could happen. But a minute four with a kicker with a 68 and 67 yard field goal in his back pocket that happened this year, They're very fortunate.
Yeah, no, it's one of those that you can debate back and forth all day long about whether or not you should score or not score and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just all about put it in the end zone when you can and go out there and play defense. All right, so let's talk a little.
Only in South Bend, it must have a
gun. I don't know what's going on. What the hell was going on there, man?
Apparently, Twitter's got volume on his computer.
It happens all the time.
Let's talk about national title game, all right? Let's look at Indiana versus Miami. 60-year-old Michael Irvin will be on the sidelines cheering on the Hurricanes. What do you like?
Blown out of his mind, Jay.
You know what, though? I it's hard to go against Indiana. You know, all year when you guys, you know, talk about Indiana, Miami's a great team. Miami's a great team, but Indiana is just an all-around team. And, you know, we've all heard the stories. They have no five stars. They hardly have any four stars. But they're a team. But I'll say this. You look at how good they are both offensively and defensively. They're the number two scoring offense in the country. We know how good that offense can be. But conversely, they're number two in scoring defense in college football. Their defense is actually metrically better in every category than the Miami Hurricanes. But as good as Miami's defense is, people are sleeping on how good that Indiana defense is. That's just a good, solid team. But once again, guys, this game's going to be loaded with draft picks. Every NFL team will be at this game.
Gotta love
that. I like Indiana.
So speaking of draft picks, not a running back, I would assume, is coming out on the mock draft. Drops today, right? You and Unicero, character concerns?
Yeah, well, it's coming out today. We're gonna do more and more mocks, of course, but there won't be a running back in the first round. The running back we had in the mock the last time in the third round decided he's going back, and that's the big thing in college football right now. Guys are getting too much money thrown. Ty Simpson's leaving Alabama to the NFL because he's going to probably be at the end of the first round, something like this. But Miami, Ole Miss, Miami came in with like $6.5 million. Ole Miss, Tennessee are all throwing money at him, but more and more guys are, you know. If you're not going to be a first-round pick, it might be better, more beneficial for you to stay in college, and that's what we're seeing more and more, where these guys are staying instead of going to the NFL, which in the end, it only helps the NFL's product, getting a more mature player when they get to the NFL. But I do like running back situations, but I still can't be talked in to the first round. You know, the funny thing is, two teams in our division took running backs in the first round. The Raiders have the first pick in the draft this year. They selected a running back in the first round. The Chargers selected a running back in the first round and got their ass kicked. And you just don't do it in the first round. So you get in the second round, you get in the third round. Matter of fact, guys, if you took the top 10 rushers from the NFL this year, only four of them are first-round picks.
Yeah.
If you look at the playoffs, who made the playoffs, you took the top 10 rushers, only four made the playoffs as far as that's concerned. So it's very, very important as a team for rushing yards, because clearly the teams that are left, four of the eight that are left, are in the top 10 in rushing as a team, but you can get good value in the second and third. I still think third round is a great place for a running back.
How do you feel about most likely Eric Bieniemy back as offensive coordinator?
I mean, not wild about it. I'm not never wild about retreads. I understand the desire because I don't think it's one of those positions where you have the total authority to do what you want. Like, you don't come in here and be able to call everything you want because Andy Reid is the head coach. So it takes either two types of personality. One that understands that Andy Reid will be there. You keep playing South Bend.
It just loads.
But you need a guy that can, you know, kind of check the ego and understand Andy calls the plays, because you're dealing, you know, you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that he's got to orchestrate this offense with. So I don't think it's the best answer. I think it would help the running game, because Eric Bieniemy is a tremendous running backs coach. But he had his chance. Once he left Kansas City, he had a chance, you know, to kind of do things. I'm not wild about it. But again, who are they really going to bring in besides a guy that's, you know, a passing game coordinator or something like this? You're not going to get a viable former head coach or, you know, an offensive coordinator. I'm okay with it. I'm not wild about it because I don't like retreads. Never have.
Binkley, last one. Who's going to be in championship weekend, AFC side, NFC side?
AFC side. I'm going to go ahead and just say New England on the AFC, even though Houston's the team I'd rather see in what D'Amico Ryans is doing on the NFC, Seattle. I'd rather see Seattle win the whole thing because that's just a scenario with not a lot of storylines where not everybody's going to bill up, and idiots like Colin Coward are going to be calling Sam Darnold the greatest quarterback in the NFL, which he would with Josh Allen. I mean, it would be Josh Allen's world if they win. There's probably 15 more Hallmark movies if he wins the Super Bowl. Give it to Sam Darnold.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
And then, do you think you could hit a home run in the new Kauffman Stadium?
Oh, gosh, no. I don't think so, Dusty, but maybe when I was younger I could. But I'll tell you this much. How exciting is that? Seriously, when I saw that news, I mean, so many times at Kauffman Stadium, you see that ball just go to the warning track or whatever, and you know what happens. But, man, it's exciting. I mean,
I'd have been more excited with a bat.
Huh?
I would have been more excited if they signed a bat.
Well, I mean, that's is something they could tangibly do. I am concerned for the Royals pitchers, though, because it was one of the draws of pitching with the Kansas City Royals is that fence was so far back, but that's out of the equation now. But yeah, I'm with you. They should have signed a bat.
All right, Bink, much love, and we will be ready for that mock draft to drop. Can't wait to see where they go in the second round. That's where I think they really get a valuable pick in this year's draft. But Bink, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Good stuff, fellas. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Jay.
It's Jay Binkley. Coming up on the other side, we get to talk about what this stadium news yesterday had in store for the Royals. Jack Caglione, 55 home runs coming up in 2026. You heard it first here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.